Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hey, great that you could join us for church online today. And we are beginning week two of our series on the way home. The way home. I love this series. And in the book of Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories. One was about a lost coin, one was about a lost sheep, and one was about a lost son who each somewhere along the way lose their way, but find their way home. And the story of the son, as Jesus tells it in Luke chapter 15, it actually starts as a very dramatic moment. He kind of picks up the story. It seems like it's midstream in the life of this family. And where we pick up this story where Jesus tells it, it's actually a very dramatic moment. It's a confrontational moment that happens between a father and a son. And the result of this confrontation is going to mean serious consequences in the life of this son and also of the family as well. And this is what it says in the book of Luke 15. Jesus says, there was a man who had two sons, and this younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And so he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the youngest son got together everything he had. He set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that even the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, I'm starving to death. I will set out now and I will go to my father and I'll say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So please just make me one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and is now found.' And so they began to celebrate." I love this story because it's not just a story about someone who gets lost, but it's actually the story of someone who finds their way back home. And, you know, for me, my story of finding my way home happened when I was 18 years old. And I'd grown up and I'd seen religion practiced, but I'd never myself actually found faith. And at 18 years old, I came into a Sunday church service. And after hearing the pastor preach, I actually prayed a prayer for the first time in my life to ask Jesus to come into my heart. And from that moment in my life, everything began to change. And the reason it changed was simply because of this. God's love began to go to work in my heart. And I discovered that actually God's love was real, it was powerful, and it was life-giving. And it changed me. And the biggest thing that I came to know in that time in my life and still know today, all is summed up in one word, and that word is grace. You see, I'd always thought growing up that the pathway that leads to God is all about my good deeds. That somehow if I could make amends for the mistakes that I'd made, if I could somehow do enough good deeds to maybe counter the balance enough from the things that I'd done wrong, that maybe that would make me acceptable in God's sight. But when I came and I began to understand and began to know God's love, I understood for the first time in my life at 18 years old that the pathway to God is not lined with good deeds, but God's grace. And God's grace is big enough. God's grace is powerful enough to cover all of my sins, to bring me close to God, and ultimately to lead me back home. And that's a love and that's a grace that we find is freely given to us in Jesus. And God's love is a love that I cannot deserve. And God's love is a love that I cannot possibly earn. But I've come to know this, that God's love and grace is always reaching out to me. And the story in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus told, even though that we may have heard the story as being called the story of the prodigal son or the story of the lost son, Jesus actually never used those words. A Bible editor put those words in later on. And the reason I think that's really important is this, is that actually the heart of this story is not about a son who gets lost. The heart of this story is all about a loving father. That actually at the centerpiece of this story, it's not a story so much about a son who messes up. It's a story about a father who never gives up. It's a story about a father whose love is relentless in his pursuit of his son to return back home. It's a story about a grace that continues to reach out to us even when we walk away. It's actually the story about the God of second chances. It's about a God whose love that never writes us off. It's about a God who never walks away from us. And it's about a God who's passionately devoted to us and whose love will never fail us. But ultimately, it's the story of finding your way home. That maybe if you've drifted away from God, maybe you had faith, but life happened and you lost it. Or maybe you've become distant or you've become disconnected from God, that your relationship with God has just taken a back seat in life. Or maybe you feel like your sins have buried you in the mud of life. You've made some mistakes. Or maybe what you've known in life is only empty religion and you've never known what it means to have a life-giving relationship with God. Well, I love what Jesus does in this story, because what he tells us here is that wherever you are on your journey with God, your Heavenly Father's heart for you has not changed. God loves you. God's for you. And I will tell you here today, God's love is reaching out to you. And by his grace, we can find our way home. And so today from this story, I want to just show you in this story three ways that we can find our way home. Three things that happen in the story of this son that helps him find his way back home. And the first thing we see in this story is we see an awakening that happens. You know, our journey back home, the way home, always starts with an awakening. It says in Luke 15, verse 14, it says, after he had spent everything he had, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. It says, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father. I love that word or that phrase. It says, but when he came to his senses, in other words, he had an awakening. And he realized in that moment of awakening that the answers that he was seeking in life would only come if he would reconnect back into relationship with his father. The son was like, I've got to find my way back home. If I can reconnect in relationship with my father, then maybe my life could change. But you know what happened in his life that caused this spiritual awakening? The Bible says that it was a famine. It says a famine hit the land, and not just any famine, but the Bible describes it, says that it was a severe famine. And maybe that famine, maybe it was caused by a drought. Maybe that famine was caused by a war. Maybe that famine was caused by a virus. We don't know. But the end result was the same. And this particular young man, he faces personal hardship. He faces economic hardship. And he faces these things on every single front. And it was difficult. And it says that he was in need. He was in lack. He was experiencing all kinds of challenges around his life. And I have no doubt that the famine was the lowest moment of his life and most certainly was the greatest challenge that he'd ever experienced. But here's what I love about this story, because yes, the famine was hard and yes, the famine was difficult, but the famine was also the very catalyst that God used to turn around his life. Because from out of this trial came transformation. And from out of the hardships that he experienced, he sought God's help. And the famine actually became his turnaround moment. It was the catalyst that God used to bring about this spiritual awakening in his life. And here's what I've come to learn. The number one contributor to our spiritual growth is difficult circumstances. I wish it was some other way. But it's the difficult experiences we walk through. It's the battles that we face. It's the trials that we go through. It's those difficult circumstances. That's what God uses to grow us and awaken us. And I've discovered there are two things that God is always at work on to awaken us. God wants to awaken us to our need for God, And God wants to awaken us to the call of God. You know, the Bible tells a story about a young woman as well in the Old Testament. Her name is Esther. And it's the story of a young woman who also has an awakening in her life. And the backstory is this. She, as a young woman, she wins a beauty pageant. And because of that, she ends up becoming the queen of this nation. But Esther is an undercover believer. In other words, no one knows in the palace about her faith. But one day she faces an incredibly difficult situation. Because what had happened is this, the king has issued an edict to basically wipe out a whole nation that she's a part of, the Jewish people. And it included her family and it included her friends as well. And Esther's dilemma was this, was would she stay quiet about her faith and save her own life? Or would she speak up and try to save the lives of others but put her own life at jeopardy? And there's an awakening moment that happens in a conversation, funnily enough, with her uncle. Listen to what it says, Esther 4 verse 14. And this is her uncle Mordecai speaking to her and says, Esther, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family will perish. But who knows, Esther, but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. And Esther, she has a spiritual awakening where she sees for the first time in her life that there's a call of God on her life. She couldn't remain undercover anymore as a believer. She couldn't just stay silent in her faith at that moment. And what she realized in this moment of awakening was that she needed to rise up, that she needed to stand up at this moment right now and take hold of the call of God that was on her life. And this awakening was all about that. It was about a young believer discovering that God had a purpose and that God had a destiny and God had a call for her life and that God actually wanted to move through her to outwork a plan to save and deliver and to rescue people all around her life. And I love that because here we see again how God uses a crisis moment in Esther's life to bring about an awakening. And she, in that moment, discovers the call and the purpose of God. And here's what I found in life. God doesn't try to cocoon us away from difficult circumstances or even hardships in life. In fact, God allows us sometimes to experience some of them. But it's not to punish us. It's actually to develop us. It's not to put us down, but actually to grow us up. Because sometimes it's only in the lowest moments of life that we really realize for the first time our need for God. And sometimes it takes a crisis to awaken us as believers to the call and the purpose of God that He has on our life. A call to rise up, a call to be bold, and a call to bring a message of faith, hope, and love to people that are all around us. The way home, it starts with an awakening. And here's the second thing we see in this story. The way home, it starts with an awakening that happens in our life, but then it leads to an arising. In Luke 15, verse 20, I love these four words. It says, so he got up. This son, not only did he have an awakening, but he recognized in that moment that he needed to do something. And he sprung into action and he got up. And that word in the Bible there, or those words, get up, it literally means this. It means to arise. It means to stand up. It means to raise up from a position of where I was once laying down. And he literally did that. He was laying down in the mud at that moment. And he felt stuck. And he felt trapped. The kind of life that he'd been living and the future that was ahead of him. I have no doubt in that moment that he felt like there was no other way, but he has an awakening. And what he realizes in that awakening is I don't have to stay where I am, that I have the power to make a decision. And when I make that decision, I can rise up and I can begin to walk towards a brand new future. There is a great story in the Old Testament in 2 Kings, and it's a story about four men who also feel very stuck in their circumstances. And the reason they felt stuck was this. Number one was because they had a disease that was called leprosy. And the consequence of that disease was that they were not able to live inside their community, that they lived outside of the city, and that they had to live by begging. And the second reason in this story that they felt stuck was because of the circumstances of their life. At that point in time, there was an army that was encamped against the city, and there was a famine in that city, and there was an army on the other side, and they were stuck in between these two terrible situations. But in the middle of these difficult circumstances, watch what happens. In 2 Kings, it says, "Now there were four men with leprosy, and they were at the entrance of the city gate. And they said to each other, 'Why stay here, or why sit we here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let us go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, we die.'" In the middle of this famine and in the middle of the hardships that were going on, these guys have an awakening. They're like, "Why sit we here until we die?" And now check out what happens next. It says, "At dusk, they got up." And what happened was, as they got up, God's power went to work, and he began to use these four men to bring about a great victory. And I love it, because here we see the same thing happen again. God uses difficult circumstances to bring an awakening, but that awakening leads these guys to a rising. It says, "So they got up." And I believe that's a word from God for us today, that it is time to get up from whatever has been holding us down. It's time to get up from discouragement. It's time to get up from out of hurt. It's time to get up from our past mistakes. It's time to get up from out of shame. It's time to get up from out of apathy. It's time to get up from out of discouragement. And it's time to arise, and it's time to take a step of faith. And it's time to arise so that you and I can begin to see the power of God go to work in us and through us to bring about a great victory. In Isaiah chapter 60 in verse 1, this is a prophetic word from God, spoken many thousands of years ago, but actually it's a word for the church today. And this is what it says: "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord, it rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look, everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will fill with joy." In other words, this scripture says there's a time coming when a darkness that looks like, seems like it's as black as night, it's going to cover every nation of the earth. But it says, but at the same time that that happens, the church is going to arise, and believers everywhere are going to arise. The glory of God is going to be upon them, and they're going to shine out the love of God to a world that's gripped by fear. And they're going to point people to the source of that light, who is Jesus. And the Bible says here that following that, there's going to be this great movement of people that says that they're going to come home to God. I love that. It says sons and daughters of God, but they are sons and daughters that have been in distant lands, sons and daughters who've been in faraway places. They're going to go on this journey and they're going to come back home. They're going to come back to God's love, and they're going to come back to his house. And I love it, because in Luke 15, we see that same story outplayed. This son arises. He has an awakening. He arises and he begins this journey from a faraway place, and he's trying to find his way home. And he has his own plan for how he's going to get back into his father's good books. He says this: "I will set out and go back to my father. I'm going to say this to him: 'Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants.'" So he got up and he went to his father with his own plan. But it says while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around his son and he kissed him. You see, the son had a plan. He said, "If I could just become a servant, maybe I can work my way back into God's favor." The son was like, "Well, maybe if I did enough good deeds, maybe if I did enough good works, maybe I can earn my way back home." And the son was expecting judgment. The son was expecting punishment from his father. But instead of punishment and judgment, he met love and mercy. The Bible says when his father saw him, his heart was filled with compassion. Compassion is God's love and mercy towards us. It says that that love and mercy meant the father ran to his son. And I love it. It says that he embraced him. And I want to tell you, the embrace of God changed everything for that son. It completely undid him. The father didn't have to say anything in that moment, because when he wrapped his arms around his son, it changed his son from the inside out. And when the son met the love and the kindness and the mercy of God, for the first time he met the grace of God. And he sees that his journey home was not about doing good deeds, but it was about meeting God's grace. And it was his grace that helped him find his way home. In 1 Corinthians, it says this: "For God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never find God through human brilliance. And then he stepped in and he saved all those who would believe his message, which the world calls foolish and silly." Do you know, it's not our brilliance that leads us to God. The Bible says it's our believing. Human wisdom and effort can never find a way to God. You see, the Bible says it's God who steps in and saves us. And all you and I need to do is believe. It's our believing that brings us near. And when you and I, when we hear the message, when we hear the good news about God's love for us displayed in Christ, when we believe that, the Bible says that is the moment that you and I are brought near. You see, for this son, there was an awakening, and that led to him arising. But then from his arising, he comes to God and he has believing for the first time in his life. He believes in the love of his father. He believes in the goodness and mercy of God. And you know what I found in life? Many of us have believed something completely different about God. Many of us have believed this lie, that on my best day, God is close, and on my worst day, that God is far off. Because we wrongly think that God must be impressed with our human brilliance. But it's never our brilliance that impresses God. It's never our brilliance that brings us near to God. It's only believing that brings us near. And I want to tell you, on your best day, God loves you. And on the worst day, God loves you even more. And he's always ready to run to you. And he's always ready to pour out his love, his grace, and his mercy on you. And the Bible says that the story finishes for this son with something amazing. It says the father then gives him, he gives him a robe, he gives him a ring, and then he gives him new sandals to wear. You see, the son wanted to become a servant in that moment, but the father wouldn't let him. He says that he gives him these three gifts. And what these gifts were all about was these gifts were actually symbols of royalty. He says, "I want now to dress you in a different way, because now you are no longer a servant, but I am changing your identity and you are now becoming a son. And because you're a son of God, I'm elevating you." And what he did was he gave to this son, he gave him dignity and he gave him honor. But most of all, he gave him a change of identity. And this son saw himself in a brand new light for the first time in his life. He no longer saw himself having to try to earn his father's love, but that he was there to receive his love and have his identity changed from the inside out. And I love it because it was far more than just a change of clothes that God was giving him. It was a change of identity. And what was changing on the outside was merely pointing to something far more powerful that was changing on the inside of him. It was his identity. God was at work in that moment, changing his heart, bringing him into relationship with him.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.